Now, in chapter 7, what he does is that he begins to deal with some questions that they had. And we've talked about these things on several occasions over the last few times we've been through it. And matter of fact, I was just listening to a message from 2011 just before I came over. I didn't finish it, but I was going through it. And I brought some cups in here. And we had a bunch of different cups and bowls and how we designate, for an example, bowls and cups for certain things. We got coffee cups and soup cups and soup bowls or cereal bowls, or we have our special dishes for this or for that. How there's bowls that are designed for specific usages. And God's created a bowl for intimacy, and that is within the bowl of marriage. And so I hadn't got through the whole message, but I'll go through it. I'll upload that and share that in a little bit. But we see a couple things in this, and for time's sake, we're not going to be able to get all up in the chapter number 7. But there's a lot in here of some of the questions they had about marriage, questions they had about being single, questions they had about their daughters and their daughters getting married. They referred to as maidens or virgins and what to do with it. And Paul wanted to help them because they were getting distracted with these things. Should they do this or should they not do this? In some of the cases, Paul was saying, if you do this, you're okay. And if you do this, you're okay. There's not necessarily a right or wrong. It goes back to a conscience thing. And then if you can do it in what you're doing in faith, do it. But don't let it become a distraction to you, because if you let it distract you, it's going to distract you in the work that God has called you to do. And he makes an emphasis of just how important the work is, that if a person could remain single, let them remain single. Because if a woman that is married has to care for her husband and her family, a man that is married has to care for his wife and his children. And he says, if you can stay single from that perspective, that the time is at hand, stay single. But if you can't, meaning if there's a problem with you, like for an example, he starts out, it's not good for a man to touch a woman. What does that mean? It's not good to give any extra attention or touch a woman that's not your wife. It's not that a man can't touch a woman. A man can touch his wife, but he shouldn't be touching other men's wives or other women. It's not a good thing. And then he gets into the idea about having a wife and how verse number 3 says, let the husband render or give to the wife the affection or benevolence due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. That word affection, in the Greek, it's a neat word, and I'm going to share it with you how it sounds. King James used the word benevolence, if I'm not mistaken. The New King James used the word affection. It means a word to support, to give support that would be beneficial or good or support the well-being of both your wife and the wife to the husband. The Greek word sounds like this. Eunoia. Eunoia. I'm just pronounce it the way it's spelled, the way it reads out. It's a Greek word. It's only used twice in the New Testament. And it's both in relation to how one serves their husband and wife and how one serves the Lord. Eunoia. And this is how I want to use it in this context. If there's anybody in the world that knows Stephanie, it's me. And I need to know. I need to know my wife. I need to know what blesses her well-being. And as a husband, it is my duty to show her that benevolence or that affection, that I know her and I know what elevates her. I know what lifts her. I know what blesses her. I know what helps her. I know what she likes, what she doesn't like. She knows me better than anybody else. She knows me. She knows me. So I want you to think of it from that perspective. Same way with how it's used with the Lord. That when you serve the Lord, you serve the Lord, men as unto the Lord. in the sense that you know what the Lord values. You know what the Lord appreciates. You know what is acceptable to the Lord because you know the Lord. So you serve that man as if you are serving the Lord whom you know. You may not know much about that man, but you know him. You know the Lord. So serve that man as you would serve the Lord because you know what is acceptable to God, and that's how you serve that man. Well, you see, that's what you do with a husband and wife. That's that due attention that you give her. That's the idea. Don't lay hands. Don't put your hands on another man's wife, but you can put your hands. You can give attention to your wife. And wives give attention to their husbands. And affection and intimacy. These are the three things that relationships need. Attention, affection, and intimacy. That's how we cultivate and nurture a relationship between a husband and a wife. And if you miss in those elements, we set ourselves up for an attack of the enemy. And that's what Paul was saying. The enemy's crafty. He'll use you. If you're not giving the proper attention and affection and intimacy in a relationship, that devil's going to misuse you and take advantage of you. That's why he says it's very important for us to do that. But just remember that word, you know. Nick, you know Stephanie. Now, what I know, I am responsible to cultivate. That's my responsibility. And if I don't do that, I rob them. I cheat them. And that's the word he uses, to rob, to cheat. Notice this. Verse number 5. Do not deprive or defraud or rob or cheat. Same word used over in 6:8. Know you yourselves wrong in what? Cheat. You rob from one another. That is saying that you know what needs need to be met in your spouse's life. And if you are not meeting those needs, you're robbing them of something that God designed for them. And you don't want to rob them from that. And he uses those words, render, do, and rob. All those are words that you got to give. You got to give. If you ain't giving, you what? Taking, you're robbing, you're cheating, you're stealing. So just think about that. You know your spouse. And because you know your spouse, the things that they appreciate, the things that they enjoy, what supports their well-being, it's us as husbands and wives to undergird that. Amen? Amen. To undergird that. And that's the idea that we have here. Verse 3. Let the husband render, give his wife what he knows she needs to support her well-being. It's due her. And likewise, the word due is owe. You owe that to her. And likewise, wife to the husband. For the wife doesn't have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body. So do not rob one another except with consent for time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again quickly, so that Satan does not what? Tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And then he just goes through, there's so much more to talk about, we're not going to be able to do it tonight, but some really, really good practical teaching that they obviously had some questions on. So, Brother Shannon, you Noah.
I do.
Miss Pat. And Miss Pat, you Noah. Brother Shannon. And most of us in here, I would imagine Miss Barbara knows Mr. Billy better than anybody, and likewise, Greg and Janet, Pat, Miss Shannon, ourselves. And that's what we want to help people, these younger women and these younger guys, help them with this area of giving attention to their family, to their wives and their husbands, and that affection. Hey, you know her. Don't fight it. Don't rob her. Don't cheat him. Don't rob him. You know what will support their well-being. Undergird that. it'll pay you good in the end. Amen?
Amen.
It sure will. It sure will. Anybody have any questions? Turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. We're going to parallel something with our reading in Corinthians, which we know all the word runs parallel together. It's not contradicting nor confusing. If it is, that's on our part, not on the word's part. We were just looking at it wrongly. So Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Let's start there. Look, if you would, in about, let's just start in verse number 5 of Ephesians 6. This is in relationship to our being a means by which God can use on the job, in the community, in this world we live in. Remember, we have an objective and an aim, not to compromise, but to see conversions, to see people transformed. And he says this in verse number 5, Ephesians 6, 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. That's the key. You do what you do as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. He says, verse 6, when you do it, don't do it with eye service, only when they pay an attention to you, as men pleasers would do, but as bondservants of Christ doing the will of God from where?
Your heart.
From your heart. So he's saying you do what you do not because people watch you do it. You do what you do because you're doing it unto the Lord, and you want to do it that it blesses the Lord. And then notice what verse number 6 says, this is where it carries over. When he uses that phrase there, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. Doing good will, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That phrase there, with good will, is the same phrase that in chapter 7 about the word benevolent, or the word affection. Remember I said that word in the Greek says, you know. So let's read it that away. Verse 7. When he closes verse number 6 out, of God from the heart, you know, meaning you know what is pleasing to Jesus. You know what blesses Jesus. You know what Jesus blesses. You know that. You know that. That's that word. You know that. So do the service as to the Lord, because you know what blesses Him. Not what blesses man, but what blesses Him.
Amen.
You see, because you could be blessing Him and it not bless man, and you can be punished for blessing Him that is not appealing unto man. But you don't want to do things that appeal to men that dishonor the Lord. You want to honor the Lord and let Him take care of you. Then the reward of that is going to be verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or whether he is free. If you know what God is pleasing to God, when you do it, you can count on God meeting that need in your life, whether men do it or not. Sometimes you got to go through some punishment. That's part of that temptation, Greg, that we talked about this morning. When you do what is good in the eyes of the Lord, it's not always going to be received as good from men. So men are going to put pressure on you. Now, you could either compromise and cave into the pressure or keep doing what God's given you to do with sincerity in your heart, and you bear through that for the glory of God, and you could only do it if you know what is pleasing to the Lord. And He's already told them in the previous chapter. Look in chapter 5, beginning in verse number 8. Look in 5:8. He has already enlightened this church at Ephesus. And we've got to keep in mind, Paul spent a longer time with the church at Ephesus than he did with any other church. So a lot of these things that he's teaching them, he taught them in person. He taught them as he was with them. He spent a lot of time at the church at Corinth. And that's why Paul was so adamant about writing and finding out the condition of the church at Corinth, because he invested so much time with them. And seeing you invested so much time, and he's hearing what's going on, man, it was troublesome to his spirit. But in verse 8 of chapter 5, he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And because you are light in the Lord, walk or live as children of light." Remember, we're not talking about compromise. We're talking about conversion. Paul never encouraged anybody to compromise. Don't be like the Jew, or don't be like the Gentiles. He says, no, I want to relate to the Jew and the Gentiles so that I can see them come to Christ, that they could glorify the Lord. Verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, it's in all righteousness, it's in all truth." Verse 10, if you're going to walk in the light, finding out what is what? Acceptable to the Lord. So when he says over in chapter 6, he's saying that because you spent time getting to know the Lord and what is acceptable to him, what is pleasing to him, when you serve men from a sincere heart, he says, you know what Jesus accepts, what Jesus likes. Serve them from what you know that he is acceptable to him. And that same principle then turns around and applies to us, that word, to how we show affection to our wives and our wives to the husbands. You know the things that they value. You know what they like and what they don't like. You know what they need and don't need. So don't play the fool. Don't act like you don't know. And if you know, you're accountable to what you do know, and that's what you want to cultivate in your relationship with your wife or with your husband, because you know, just like we're to know what God likes, we need to know what our spouse likes. And as a result, as we mentioned earlier in the week, that if you want to know more about me, just spend a little time with Stephanie. She'll be able to tell you the things that I like and don't like, what I care for, what I don't care for, what I appreciate and what I don't appreciate, what you can do or shouldn't do with around Nick. And the same way with Stephanie, the same way with you. If I wanted to know something about your spouse, I would ask you, because I believe you could tell me better than anybody else in the world what they appreciate and value more than anyone else. And that's that word. You know, that's that goodwill of benevolence. You know them. And because you do know them, just like you know the Lord, you want to serve that person, whether they're kind to you or they're hard, whether they're harsh or they're gentle. You know what God says. You know what he likes, what he values, what he appreciates. And you serve that harsh person like you would serve him. You serve that gentle person like you would serve him. You don't take advantage of that meek and easygoing employer or boss, whatever it is, because you can walk over him. No, you got to look at that person. Who are you serving in this? You know what God would tell you to do. Amen. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you for these wonderful, wonderful words of wisdom that we find in your revelation. I pray we don't get to the place where we think we know better than you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love y'all.